Frank Bull texts and says, get a dog, not a live chia pet. Wayside
or
Wapes.
Get a live chia pet.
Woof, woof. I mean, we got Slinky Dog. And it is very easy upkeep. See, I like all of the things that would go in with owning a dog. It's just, you know, the responsibility, the hair, the, you know...
You're afraid to feel love. House, it's okay. You can admit it.
Training and things like that. Unconditional
love
myself
is,
first.
See, exactly. Right, but I mean, a dog can help you do that.
There's nothing you can say to me that I haven't already said to myself, okay? So you can talk about this all you want. It doesn't matter. I've already done it. So we'll hear from Andy Reid. We'll hear from Patrick Mahomes and Trey Smith. We'll hear from Trey Smith as well. I do wonder how healthy, it's not to make excuses or anything, but I do wonder how healthy that ankle is for that leg, you know, an ankle is for Trey Smith, because it's one of those things that when you get hurt early in the season, are you ever 100%? Like, is Butker 100%? Joe Tooney, it was obviously bothering him.
He's not.
Ayo.
Yeah, it was obviously bothering Joe Tooney to the point that he misses a couple of games. So even when he was playing, not being able to really, you know, he's pretty. He's not the dog down the hill, grinding, mauling blocker, but he's not getting walked back to the quarterback. And when that happens, there's something going on. And that's when you knew, like, all right, maybe there's something more to Joe Tooney, this injury. And then he's missed a couple of games. So that was unfortunate. So we'll hear from Trey Smith too on this team and getting ready for the Broncos. I do like the text that said, will Andy Reid say that the Broncos are well coached?
We know he'll lie to us, so I think he does. But it would be so funny if he, because it would be funny to us if he went up there and said, "We're looking forward to the challenge of playing the Broncos. Time's yours." Because if he just skips that
well
part,
coached team and
well coached team, good, and well coached, you know, and, you know, and you know, in fairness, I think the defense, it probably is well coached. What if Andy Reid says they're a well coached defense? They've got a quarterback who we've seen a couple times before.
That would be great. The special teams was really well coached.
They've got a so well coached on defense and special teams.
Well coached running back that they got off of a team's practice squad a few weeks ago. Huh? If you missed it, about 45 minutes ago, that it was announced that Von Miller has torn his ACL. He is out for the season. He had ACL surgery to repair that yesterday. Sean McDermott at a press conference today said they didn't know the ACL was torn. They went in to have exploratory surgery to see what all was going on and to really get an idea of, okay, what's the damage? Where's the trauma? What needs to be fixed? You know, close it back up and just rehab, you know, rest, something like that. And when they went in there, they found that the ACL was torn, which is interesting because it, you know, with today's technology, you would think the MRI would just reveal that. But it didn't reveal that, and they had to actually go in to see what's wrong because, I don't know, maybe it wasn't responding the way that they thought it might, you know, a couple of weeks after the injury. And they go, okay, well, let's see what's going on in there. Oh, it's torn. While we're in here, we're going to repair it. You're out for the year.
And at one point, I mean, it really was maybe he'd only miss one game. And you're right, it's such a good point that, like, you don't see this happen this way very often. And, frankly, it makes me wonder how often that does occur. That maybe ends up impacting guys for a longer period of time. Maybe they're playing with a torn ACL and don't even know it.
And sometimes surgery doesn't go well. Justin Houston, we've seen like different things that have happened over the over the years. And so it is unfortunate. I've said that it's rare that there is a player that plays in the AFC West against the Chiefs, plays really, really well, and I like him. And Von Miller is one of those guys. And now he plays for the Bills, and I still like Von Miller. So it's unfortunate, but he is a guy they signed specifically for the Chiefs.
Maybe to some extent, even for the Bengals, if you want to extend that respect.
If Von Miller's not on the field earlier, I think the Chiefs beat the Bills. They didn't. Here's Andy Reid.
I practiced today, so in some form or another, we'll see how that goes. Look forward to the challenge of playing the Broncos. You know, we get rid of the record on this thing as we evaluate them and look at them as a team, and their defense is one of the top defenses in the NFL. Red zone, they're top, and then third downs are top, and they're playing like crazy, and their offense is like one fingertip away from winning games. So We've got to make sure we have a good week of practice and get ourselves ready. And it's an AFC West opponent, which is always, you know, that's great competition. Anyways, with that, time's yours.
With the Broncos defense, they earlier this year made some trades to the deadline and got rid of some of their better players, but they still keep going. What do you attribute that to?
Yeah, well, they're well coached and they play hard. They still have good players there, so they play hard. So.
Andy, there was a stat CBS showed during the game. You guys have had seven straight games with the turnover. I just wonder if there's something that you've noticed that's a theme throughout that, or if it's just, you know, at this time of the year, that's something you need to, you know, try to cut down on.
Yeah, you can't turn the ball over. I mean, that's so we're always constantly talking about that. And I'm not sure there's not necessarily one thing is happening, but the end result is a turnover. So we've got to take care of the ball.
Coach, an in-house matter. We haven't had an update on Mecole Hardman in a while. If all things go well, he might be able to come back next week. How's his progress in injury?
Yeah, you know what? He's doing well. He had lost some weight. He's put the weight back on, which is good. And he's out running now, and he's getting close. Yeah.
What's your expectation? You think you might have him back next week?
There's a chance. Yeah, there's a chance. Give him a couple more days here. We'll see. But he's doing well.
Yeah. Feel like Kadarius is in a place where he could play?
So. Yeah, we'll see. I'm gonna let him get out there and work a little bit, and we'll just see how he does. We're not, I'm not gonna bring him back and have him hurt it again. That's not what we're looking at. So just see what he can do.
Did Tooney have a setback, maybe in practice Friday, or?
No, his thing was just getting that final push, you know, that you can get off of it in the run game. It's day-to-day, so he feels better this week than he did last week. And I just thought that, you know what, he's made as much progress as he has. Let's just give him a little bit more time. So that's where I was at the end of last week.
Coach, it came out that Orlando Brown and Andrew Wiley are kind of the top two tacklers in the league, giving up pressure. What's been the process in trying to help them? I know there've been a lot of chip blocks and things like that, but what's been the process?
Yeah, well, they've gone against some good players, and we do try to help them with chips, like we would anybody that's in there. I mean, these defensive ends we've played are pretty good, and the two that we're playing this week are good too. So, that's part of it.
Andy, overall mentality of the team after a loss, you know what you guys got in front of you, probably got to win out to try to, make a shot at the one seed there. Schultz trying to emphasize, things are still out there in front of them.
Yeah, the guys know. I mean, they know where they're at. Nobody knows better than they did about what's out front. So you don't have to stand up there and preach to them about that. they want to do well, and they want to win games. That's a mentality of this team. So, they battled their hearts out Sunday and it didn't work out. Come back and let's go.
Coach, the challenge of playing a team almost back-to-back so close in a short time, what is the challenge in that?
Yeah, well, we've done this the last couple of years with them, so with this group. And so the challenge is you just played them and they kind of know what you've got, and you know what they've got, and you go play. But we're okay with that.
Andy, obviously the guys are aware that Bengals team is a team that you could potentially see again. What's the balance of sort of compartmentalizing that and moving on versus using some stuff that you saw?
Yeah, so I think the important thing is you learn from every win and loss. And then you move on to the next game, and that's what these guys have done. I mean, they're tunneled in. I mean, we're deep into, this thing. As coaches, we were deep into it Monday morning. And so by the time you all woke up, it was lunchtime for us.
When you say you learn from your win and your losses, obviously it's been three times point differential in the defeat, but what do you take away from that? So what you saw in Sunday's game doesn't repeat against Denver?
Yeah, the things that we talked about after the game, I'm not going to go into it. I mean, I've already covered that. I'm, again, on to Denver here. So we're trying to get ourselves right for that, and They got a good football team, so we got to make sure we're right for Denver.
I'm sorry, I guess what I'm saying is, because you said what you saw on film and it was lunchtime for us, what did you see on film, not right after the game when you spoke to us, but what did you see on film coming back that you felt like, you know?
Yeah, what I talked about Monday. Yeah, same deal. Yeah.
What have you seen from Melvin, and is there a chance he can help you this week or in the next couple weeks?
Yeah, I mean, there's that chance. We're fairly healthy there, so. But I'm glad we have him here. You know, he's does a nice job for us. So.
Coach, when it comes to Patrick in this league, he's been largely dominant, and this team in particular seems to have gotten him a couple times. Not to say he's good at Joel, but how much do you sense it's getting him that he sort of can't get over that Bengals hump in any way?
Yeah, we're past the Bengals thing. I'm on, way past that. So let's keep going on to Denver. I mean, you're asking me questions about them, but you're asking me to forget about them. So they're forgotten. On to this one. Yeah.
Last three, we'll go Nate. Go ahead.
Coach, sometimes we talk to the players when they get ready to go to the Mile High Stadium and say, I can't breathe there, I've got to have extra oxygen, and others, it's not bothered at all. So how do you prepare a team when some guys it really affects and other guys not at all?
Yeah, we've had we've been okay there with the breathing part. It's been late in the year. Normally you're in pretty good shape. The weather's a little cooler, and you go in and it doesn't hit you quite like maybe early in the season.
Bye, Andy. Two things, if you don't mind. One about Justin, and one about Patrick. It seemed that you might have had either a conversation or something with Justin last week after his comments, and I wondered if you felt the need to talk to him again after the Twitter post he had yesterday.
Yeah, he's good. He's all right. He's good. He knows.
And on Patrick, I wonder if, as the Man of the Year nominee, what that sort of says about how he's become emblematic of your team and how that sort of stands for him in a broader way.
Yeah, sure. He does a great job leading here, but he also takes that into the community. He's done that since he's come here. He's big, obviously, on kids and their needs and people in general. He's got a big heart that way for people. So, and I think it's a tribute to him and his family and the efforts that he puts forward. You're tired during the season, but yet he gets out there and gives back, and that's an important quality to have.
Coach, you mentioned that the Broncos defense is still what it is. The offense hasn't quite gotten there yet. They've made a lot of changes, right? They brought Russell Wilson. It hasn't been exactly what they want. Have you seen things from them as they've gone throughout the year when you look back and take that they're getting closer to that? And just a little bit about Russell Wilson and any respect you have for him.
Yeah, so I've known Russell, competed against him for a long time. He's a heck of a player. They're, like I said, they're like fingertips away. And our guys have a chance to look at that on tape, which is important to understand. And you have to make sure that you get yourself right, technique-wise, to play against those receivers, and in particular him with his timing and run ability. So he can still scoot. And he's slippery in the pocket, so you've got to make sure you handle all of that the right way. And the best thing that I can do as a coach or our coaching staff can do is show the players, and the players want to see that, they want to learn from it, and but that tells the story. So I can sit here and tell you he's a fingertip away, but they're seeing it, and they understand that.
Last one, Nate.
Andy, leading an organization for 24 years, seeing how much the Man of the Year award is the most prestigious award you can win during a season, just what feeling does it give you when the quarterback is nominated for the award?
Yeah, well, he's the one that's one of the faces of the franchise. He's out there. And this kid is known throughout, you probably could say throughout the world. I was over in Italy and people were going, Mahomes. So I'm going, all right. They know who he is. And that's it's a tribute to him and how he handles himself. And and I think it's great. I mean, I'm proud of him for what he's done.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, there's Andy Reid. Everybody practiced today. He said that includes Kadarius Toney, Joe Tooney, those guys. Mecole Hardman on the IR, eligible to return next week. He said that he lost some weight. He's put it back on. He's running, getting close. There's a chance he can play next week. And they are on to the Broncos. They are on to the Broncos, which, by the way, is a well-coached team. Good defense, a fingertip away from having
throw
a lot more wins.
Out.
Throw the record out.
Russell Wilson can still scoot.
Get rid of the record. Well-coached team are the Broncos. And now we just need to see a team that loses to the Broncos that then will have a we're on to another team, because the Chiefs lost to Cincinnati and they're on to the Broncos. Yep. When the Patriots lost to the Chiefs, they were on to Cincinnati. Chiefs lost to the Bengals, they are now on to Denver. Somebody's got to lose to Denver and then be asked about that over and over for a coach to go, I don't know why you guys keep, we're on to insert team city here. But Andy Reid, not happy about continued questions about the Bengals, which shows you that around here, not really moved on from that game. Here's Patrick Mahomes.
You guys seem to do it all the time against Denver.
Yeah, I mean, I think the challenge is they're a good football team. Their defense is special. They have a good scheme. They have good players. And so when you play division opponents, you obviously know they've studied you all offseason. So you try to have a concept of what you do best, but at the same time throw in some wrinkles so that they can't be on top of your best plays. And so for us, it would be a great challenge against a great defense to go out there and try to find a way to put up enough points to win.
So is the game plan different when you play them twice in almost like 3 weeks or something?
I mean, obviously you have similar plays, but you utilize plays that kind of go off of each other so they can't get a good concept of what you're trying to do. And, I mean, they're a great defense, man. They do a lot of great things. And so it'll be a great challenge for us as an offense, and I got to do my best to get the ball in my hand and let these guys make plays.
Patrick, Andy really made the point as far as moving up to the Cincinnati game to this Denver game. I wondered what your process of doing that is, and is it more difficult when it's a team that you feel like you could potentially see again?
Not for me. In this league, you got to move on or you're going to make one loss turn into two. So you watch the tape on Monday. You get a sense of what you could do better and what you can take away that you did positive. Then you move on to the next week, and that's what we're doing, and we're ready to play a great football team in the Denver Broncos.
Patrick, is there a sense of pride in the fact that, you know, you've never lost to the Broncos in your time here, and just what's always given you so much success against them?
Yeah, we just really emphasize playing our division opponents. That's something that we work on all offseason. In order to get where you want to go, you have to win your division most times. And so for us, the coaches do a great job of giving us great game plans, and then I try to go out there and execute them. And we just really emphasize trying to beat our division opponents, and the Broncos have been one that's been a great challenge for us every year.
How are you made aware that you were the team's nomination for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award?
Well, they let me know a few weeks back. We had the announcement last night at my gala. But, I mean, obviously a tremendous honor. I mean, not only to be the Walter Payton nominee for the NFL, but for the Chiefs, who have the most Walter Payton Man of the Years. And it's such a prestigious honor for this organization, especially to give back to the community that gives us so much. And there's so many deserving guys on our team. So for me to have my turn this year, something that I'll hold for the rest of my life.
Patrick, I know you have bigger goals, but you can also clinch the AFC West this year. What kind of achievement do you feel like that is? Understanding, again, you have bigger goals.
No, it's a huge deal, man. I mean, obviously you want to win the Super Bowl every year, but it starts, our first goal when we walk in is to win the AFC West. And that takes week in and week out, great preparation. It's a division that's always tough, always has great teams in it. We know whenever we go in every week, they're going to give us our best shot. And if you look at all the games that we play, we've won a lot of them, but they always come down to the very end. So we know it's a hard thing to do, and we're going to take pride in trying to do that and win every time we play against these opponents.
I know you don't know anything different than winning the AFC West, but I was just wondering whether this one might feel a little different, given how the other teams really seem to load up this year to kind of take you down.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's a little different. I mean, we feel like this division is one of the best divisions in football every single year. And I think you see the records go lower because we're all kind of beat up on each other. But we've done a great job of winning those close, hard-fought football games. And that's a tribute to the coaches and the culture that Coach Reed has built here that started even before I was here. And so we know it's going to be a great challenge week in and week out, year in and year out. And so we just focus on doing whatever we can to put ourselves in position to win it.
Patrick, I know with 15 of my homies and all the stuff you've done, going back to the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, a nominee, but how impressive you've been that it's been able to grow in your time here to what it is now and just seeing that come to, you know, light, you've been able to help so many people.
Yeah, I mean, it's way past what I even dreamed of it ever being. And I think that goes to the people that I have around me and the people in the communities that have brought me up is they've been willing to give back and help me kind of follow this dream of giving back to the communities that helped me out so much. And it takes everybody. It's not just me. I mean, I'm the face of it. But there's so many people behind the scenes that make this thing go. And the community, like I said, in Kansas City and Tyler, Texas and Lubbock, Texas that have donated their time, their money, whatever it is, to make this foundation become what it is. It's truly special and something that I'll have for the rest of my life and something I never could have even dreamed of.
The last time you lost this year, you guys won 5 games in a row. What do you think it is about this particular room that enables you to rebound in that fashion for such a long stretch?
Yeah, I think it's just a mindset of when you lose, you get that sour taste in your mouth, but you have to kind of do whatever you can to get better from it. It's cool to see with a lot of young guys that you do that because a lot of times you see the young guys, it can go bad fast, but we've had guys that bounce back and continue to work to improve, learn, like I said, from the negatives, take away from the positives as well, and be better the next time we step on that field. And that's what you want when you're kind of getting to this late part of the season, when you're trying to build and make a playoff run.
Patrick, are you a believer that you learn more from a loss than a win?
I think you have to learn from both. In order to be great in this league, you can't. You don't want to lose, so you have to be able to learn from those wins just as much as you learn from those losses. And the losses might, I guess, set a little bit of a fire under you sometimes, where you want to go out and especially that next week and prove that's not who you are. And I think guys understand that is that we left some tape out there that we weren't necessarily happy with. So how can we be better this next week and so that we can improve as this season goes on?
How has the foot felt the last couple of days after the game?
It's felt good. I mean, you always deal with bruises and little things in the NFL season. And so luckily for me, it's just a bruise and something that I can just kind of bounce back from and be out there at practice and keep getting better like we're trying to do.
Patrick, I don't know if you saw the ESPN interview with Andrew Luck. He did finally talk for the first time since he retired. And some of the things he talked about, the burden of being the face of the franchise and all that, and life changes, and you've gone through plenty of that stuff here recently as well with the addition of your son. How have you balanced all that stuff and still put all the work in that you need to put in to go be, you know, at your best when you're out there on Sundays?
Yeah, I haven't seen the interview yet, but obviously I think it takes like I said, it takes a lot of people. It's not just me. It takes Brittany being at home with the babies and taking care of them throughout the day, making it easy when I come home, they're all happy and ready to see me. I get the easy part of it. It takes my family being behind me, supporting me. Takes people like a culture like I have here in Kansas City, to where I can come in and be myself, have this personality that I have, and it's hard. I mean, it's hard for anybody when you have this much pressure on you every single day to go out there and be your best. But when you put the right people around yourself, you can just enjoy it. And I think that's what I try to do every single day is understand that it's a pressure and it's a hard opportunity, but you're blessed to have it. So you have to enjoy it every single day. And when I stop enjoying it, I think that's when I'll walk away. But I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
Patrick, you guys,
we'll go three or four more. We'll go with Vahe and walk around. Nate, Steve, Nate. Go ahead.
Patrick, also with regard to the Man of the Year nomination, you'll always be a proud Texan. But at this point, I wonder how much you sort of identify as a Kansas Cityan too and what this does kind of to, I don't know, fuse together your image as the Chiefs.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like dual. I'm a Texan and a Kansas Cityan for sure. I mean, I'm building a house here. I'm going to be here for a long time. I always will have a house in Kansas City. And I think that's just because I appreciate the people so much and how they've taken my family in and made it a part of this community. And I think y'all know, I mean, this community is special. And I always have that Texan in me a little bit, but the Kansas Cityan is definitely something that I'm proud of.
And is there a parallel, do you think, between you saying you're the face of the foundation, but also maybe with all the things working behind it, and same here with the Chiefs, that, you know, you're the most visible part, but it's all the things behind the scenes that make you go?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, it takes everybody. It's not just me. And everything that I do, I just try to go out there and enjoy the moments that I have. I know I'm blessed. to be in this organization, to have the people that I have around me, and to be in this city. And so I don't say I'm the face of the Chiefs, though. That's Coach Reed and that mustache. So I'm going to follow behind his lead.
Patrick, you guys still lead the league in points per game, yet you have a minus turnover differential. When you hear that, just from your perspective, how good do you think the offense can get, or even better if you guys do cut down the turnovers?
Yeah, I mean, we just have to continue to get better at it. I have the interceptions, like I said last week. There's like one dumb play a game. I got away with it this last week when I tried to throw the ball to Juju and they dropped it. But kind of get away with the dumb plays, one dumb play I have a game. And then ball security, I mean, I talked about after the game. I mean, Travis fights those yards and he doesn't fumble. I mean, that's just one thing. The guy made a great play. And our defense, they're around the football. So I know the turnovers are coming. And when they do, I think we can even be a better team.
Steve?
You guys have had the ability to be able to battle from behind, right? Like, start off slow not this year, but years past and come back for the win. But do you feel like you guys have kind of gotten complacent and settled for that?
I don't think so. I think we just have to be better at executing earlier in the game. I feel like we had a good drive that first drive, and without him knocking that ball down, I think we could have got the ball to Travis with a chance to score there on that first drive, and we ended up getting behind. And I think the good thing is that we've done it before, so we don't panic. We just go about doing our business and stuff like that, and taking it one play at a time. But obviously, we want to try to build up leads if we can. But whatever way the game takes us, I've trusted our guys are going to fight until the very end of it.
Last one, Nick.
Patrick, head into Week 14. What offensive identity do you feel like you guys have been able to build with these 13?
Yeah, I think we're becoming more and more balanced as the year goes on, and I think that's going to be a good thing as the playoffs come. We're able to run the ball well. I think Pacheco's doing a great job, as well as those other backs of hitting it when it's there and getting the yards that's there. And then we've been spreading the ball around, and I think that's been the thing that I think it can take us into the playoffs. Is obviously we have guys that can make plays, but if we can spread the ball around, be balanced, I think we can be a better team at the end of the season than we were at the beginning.
Thanks, Patrick.
All right, there's Patrick Mahomes talking about this Denver Broncos game coming up this week. His Walter Payton Man of the Year nomination as the Kansas City Chiefs representative, being a Kansas City and a Texan, sort of dual citizenship, that he'll always be here in Kansas City building a house here. So no matter where he's going to be, he'll always, you know, be around the community as well. That, you know, not anytime soon, as you talked about, with him no longer playing football. The foot injury was just a bruise, and said this time of year there's always going to be, you know, nicks, bumps, bruises, things like that.
Played off the big toe thing a couple years back also. That is a real good question from Matt Derrick. Real good question.
And said, you worry about last week, you lose again in the NFL. So they are getting ready for the Denver Broncos. They're not thinking about that, and sometimes that loss is extra motivation that you want to get back out there and prove that that's not who you are. They left tape out there that we weren't happy about, quote. I would guess that would be what happened, that there were some plays that you're not happy about what took place.
Yeah.
Across the board. Pass rush, pass protection, probably running the ball. I mean, I think McKinnon and Pacheco looked pretty good, but there's probably a play or two where they look at it and go, oh, man, boy, if I could have just done this. Or, you know, I don't know, McKinnon maybe on that second down and 10 is like, oh, you know, that screen, what if I cut that way? Maybe I pick up the first down. Like, I have no idea what's going through their minds. I've watched that second down play a lot. I'm not sure he could have done anything but pick up the 7 yards that he did. But I don't know what that may be going on in the film room and the secondary and linebackers and everybody else that's there, and Winchester and Butker and Townsend probably thinks he could have been better on the whole. Like, everybody across the board is looking at it and going, we lost that game by 3, and there are so many plays that me personally, I'd love to have back, and just can't do that. So now you got to go out and try to get better and improve upon that. Said that the identity is that they've become more and more balanced as the year has gone along, running the ball effectively and spreading the ball around, and that's how they will win games.
You just got to be able to do whatever defenses don't want you to be doing, and then you have to do that in a punishing, effective, efficient way. And they have been running the ball as all of those things so far, at least these last couple of weeks, which is a really big deal. Balance doesn't mean 50-50. It doesn't mean run it 25 times, throw it 25 times. But having that in your bag is an important thing for an offense.
And, you know, it's not the results-oriented analysis on that 3rd-and-3. Talked about it on Monday. I really wanted to see them run the ball there.
Yep.
I love putting the ball in Patrick Mahomes' hands. And I get the thought process of, so if you lose yards on that play running the ball, and then he settles for the field goal, you go, on third and three with 3:20 to play, you're down, you'll run the ball instead of letting Patrick Mahomes throw it. I absolutely get that. Understandable. But when we're talking about, when people come out and say, oh, the Chiefs are running the football now, how are you going to stop this offense? Now that they're able to do this and they're effective in running the ball, look what Pacheco has done. That is an offense that's going to be tough to stop. Well, the Bengals were saying, yeah, it is an offense tough to stop if we have to worry about the run. Yep. But we're not going to. We're not going to worry about the run. Even on third and four from the 8-yard line, we're not going to worry about the run. Oh, hand it off, 8-yard touchdown. We were worried about the pass. And on third and three, they dropped 8. So that's where, is that the next evolution of this to where in Andy Reid's probably entire life, that third and three is a pass. It's a pass. It's a pass. But is the next evolution of my offensive line is really good at run blocking, and this defense is letting us run, and we need 3 yards. I'm just going to hand it off, and then I'll give it back to Mahomes on first down and 10, or I'll hand it off again, and on, you know, second down and 7, second down and 6, I'll put it in Mahomes' hands. But right now, I don't need that guy to save us. I don't need him to wear a cape. He had to wear a cape against the Titans. He doesn't need to wear a cape in this game. He can, you know, be Robin, you know, every once in a while and not have to be Batman and Robin and Superman and all of the Avengers.
He became the, well, some of those are some of the DC guys there.
I know, I threw that all in. DC and Marvel. I combined it. That's what he has to be.
He can be the Justice Avengers League on fourth and goal, which he already was in that game.
Right, yeah,
he did have to do it once already, and you're still in that spot. One of the reasons that Andy Reid on third and three has thrown the ball his whole career is because that's not what you're supposed to do. I put that in air quotes.
Yeah.
That is the counterpunch, because defense have been watching Jerome Bettis at this point, and third and three means bust for four. That's what that usually
means. And
they
kick a field goal, because we're in field goal range. Don't lose the three.
Right. It's run, 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 field goal.
That's right.
And Andy Reid broke that mold. And look, I still think across the board, offense and defense, I think this game was more about execution than coaching. I think it was more about player issues than coach issues. But Andy Reid had a couple of flubs in this game, and just handing the ball off twice, or planning for the four down territory of running the ball twice in that spot, out on the ball on third down, and then if it's fourth and two, if you do lose yards on that, then you do put it back in Patrick Mahomes' hands again.
I'm not going to hand it off to Michael Burton in that.
Right.
And I liked the third and one earlier in the drive. I think it was that same drive when it was the fake to Burton, pitch to Pacheco.
Pacheco.
Went outside.
Yep.
And
he made a good play on that one. That we haven't talked about that this week. That angle and that decision from Pacheco, frankly, I do not think 25 picks that up. I think that is a Pacheco.
Oh, I don't think 25 picks it up either.
That's a Pacheco first down.
I wonder if Pacheco, as he gets older, is able to cut that back inside and pick up more yards. If he's able to sort of, I think, understand that he's a much better cut and get up field than he is fast laterally outside like that.
I just realized what that play reminded me of. Is the end of the Big 12 championship game last year.
Where
as Pacheco is stretching it out to the side, I thought, I don't know that he's got the angle on speed, but this dude's a horse. I hope he puts his shoulder down.
And he did.
And he did. Yep. He got as much distance as he could, but then he played through the contact because he had the momentum in that spot. And I haven't seen the Chiefs running back do that since maybe Priest Holmes. I don't know. That might not be fair. But
once it was one-on-one, Jamal.
He would just beat you. He would just get to the corner
first,
right?
But I think he was tough. That he would
absolutely.
He would take you on as well if need be. Don't you dare!
No.
Disparage Jamal.
Hold on, let me get my wallet. I'm a lifelong card carrying member of the Jamal Charles fan club, the Jamal Charles Hall of Fame ballot club.
You know what my son was watching this morning on YouTube? Jamal Charles highlights.
I should also
say, there was a tear that was coming down my eye.
It's beautiful.
While I was telling him to appreciate Slinky Dog over there.
That little child right there, that is half your DNA, and you knew it in that
exactly
moment.
Right.
When I say 25 doesn't make that cut, I do mean Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Oh, I know what you mean.
We've mentioned Jamal Charles, I'd like to make that one very clear.
Absolutely. No, you just said since Priest Holmes, and I was throwing Jamal.
No, that's totally fair. I just want everyone.
And taking a guy on Larry Johnson. But still, I get what
Larry Johnson would have done that.
I get the overall point.
But the Big 12 title game last year, I was thinking, you over-rely on the speed and the angle, and then you run yourself out of the play, or you try to do too much back there, and now you've lost the aggressor's position.
Yeah.
Pacheco's always the aggressor, even coming off the sideline.
And I wonder if in a year or two, he's maybe more in tune with his ability at the NFL level, that he's not a guy that is better laterally quick as opposed to foot in the ground, and I'm going to drive right at you, and I can be better in shorts, smaller space, and then burst from that smaller space into sort of setting up defenders that, you know, in 2 years, does he cut that up and pick up 6 or 7 yards?
Yeah.
As opposed to, I'm just going to beat him to the outside. But also, you're down by three. There's 4.5 minutes to play. Third and one. I got to pick up the first down.
Yep.
And maybe in the middle of the game, I might cut this up and get 7 or 8. But I'm not going to take a chance of cutting this up and that guy making a great defensive play and cutting with me, which I don't think he will do. But if he does that and takes me head on and somehow I don't pick up the first down, now I'm going to look at film and everybody's going to go, just beat him to the outside and pick up the first down.
Right.
So maybe that was a veteran play. You know, we're nitpicking a play in which they were successful. But that's the beauty of, like, you know, the unknown of what Pacheco can be as he progresses.
I just want to keep seeing steam come out of his helmet.
Absolutely.
And on that one, it was just a locomotive, just thunka, 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 thunka. And I was just so glad that it ended in contact and not him diving out of bounds.
Well, the difference between as soon as he pitches the ball, right, pitches the ball out, they fake to Burton and pitch the ball out. If you pause it like Zach Morris and say by the bell, and you take number 10 off the field, and you put number 25 on the field, I am not confident that that's a first down. He may get it. I'm not saying he won't.
Yep.
He may get the first down.
Totally.
But I see that and I go, oh my God, you're going to try to have Edwards-Helaire beat somebody to the edge. Play. Number 10's on the field. Press play. As soon as he pitched it, I'm like, well, first down. What are they going to do on first and 10 now?
I was excited
what's the next
to
set
see
of downs?
It. It felt like watching the opening scene of Godzilla versus Kong. Like, I just wanted to know what it would look like when they met.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there was not a doubt in my mind that he was going to pick up the first down. And I think that's what's this offense, the evolution in gaining what Patrick Mahomes says is the identity of being more and more balanced as the year has gone along and being able to run it. And then also, hey, spreading the ball around. Whereas at the beginning of the season, it was about, oh, we're having success, we're spreading the ball around. I told you guys, fantasy manager, sorry. You know, it's going to be a different guy every week. Now it's balance. And the first thing he talks about is how good the running game is and what it's been able to do. And I think that is absolutely what's happened. And the next step would be, you know, utilizing that in a situation to where you are now countering to the counter, as you say, third and three forever was a run play, and Andy Reid forever has gone, nah, I'm going to pass the ball on third and three because you expect run.
Right.
Well, now they expect pass from the Chiefs on third and three, especially in a team that couldn't stop the run, and they were still saying, we'll surrender the first down running the ball, but we're not going to come up and overplay the run, and you beat us over the top, and now we're down four with 2:45 to play, and we need a touchdown to go and win. That's not going to happen. You're going to hold everything in front of us, and at worst, if we keep you to a field goal, we win. We win. Field goal is a win for the defense in that situation.
Yep.
Is when the Chiefs got the ball with 8-something to play, field goal was a win. Anything but a touchdown was a win for the Bengals defense. And I believe they went into that drive knowing that. So, we'll see. I did appreciate, too, like, you know, Patrick Mahomes talking about different things that are on film or not on film and that you learn from, that he talked about the opening drive, that the ball was knocked down, and he was like, it was there. He made a great play.
Yep.
There is nothing to where you go, oh, I wish I would have done this or that. I mean, a guy getting his hand up at the right time while he's moving right, he's moving to his right, putting his hand up while the ball is going to have to meet at a split second, right? You know, a half second here or there, and the ball goes right by his hand. How many times have we seen a ball go right next to somebody's hand? And it's like, oh, my.
Every snap almost. Yeah,
how did he miss that?
Yep.
He got it, and Mahomes like, no, he made a great play. You know, it's unfortunate it happens. Those things happen in football. But Kels was there, as he said. But we'll see. 5 games to play. Broncos this week, 27-10 final.
Fingertip away from being a good offense.
I've already told you the final.
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Yeah,
it's 27-10. There's no reason to watch. I'm telling you guys.
They simply cannot lose that football game.
Yeah, it's not a must win, but it's a damn hot. You better not lose that.
It is a different type of must win. It is a can't lose. It is a cannot lose type of game.
Is that what we said with Missouri Vandy? That Missouri Vandy?
Yeah, I think it was.
Missouri Vandy was like, it's not a must win because in theory you could go and beat Kentucky, and could you beat Tennessee? No. Could you beat Arkansas? Could you win some of those games? South Carolina on the road? Yeah. So was it a must win for Vandy to get to a bowl game? No. But it's a you can't lose game.
Yep.
It's not a must win for the Chiefs, because could the Bills drop two more the rest of the way? Could the Bengals drop one more the rest of the way? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but don't lose it. You know, don't lose the game.
And they just shouldn't. I thought it was interesting, Mahomes talking about, you know, learning from wins and losses, but somebody asked, you know, do you learn more from losses? And his answer is frankly kind of what I expected, but mm-hmm. it was interesting to me that you say, well, there's sort of a different energy to it after a loss when you start looking around and you realize, hey, we're trying to learn from film we were embarrassed by rather than film no one else is going to be picking through quite like that. You know what I mean? Like, you win a game well enough, and you win a game 31-17 or something, you can go back through and let your coaches tell you what you did wrong and nitpick at stuff and try to improve. But it's got to be a completely different attitude whenever you have like half your defense on Twitter defending themselves after a game, and then you're taking that energy to a week of preparation. I'm not surprised by kind of his answer there, but I do think that's an interesting thing to keep in mind and how teams are trying to improve, especially for a team like the Chiefs, where every loss on some level is sort of embarrassing.
Should we take a break, Beards? We're waiting on Trey Smith, but I don't know that...
I have not heard anything.
He will be at the podium in mere moments, I can tell you that.
Yeah. Excellent.
All it needed to do was me to go to the bathroom and our food was going to show up at the table.
That's how that works.
It's the only thing that needed to happen.
Still holding it right now?
That's right.
We should get Trey Smith up at the podium there any second, Beards, so... Big Head, as Eric Bieniemy called him in Revealed. I'm guessing he'll be asked about that at some point
asked
today.
About Big Head. What size do you wear here, Trey Smith?
My cleats. I'm getting to do the National Blood Clot Alliance. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to you as far as being able to have a platform for that organization and for everything you've gone through?
Yeah, it means the world. I put up a tweet and Instagram post about it, talking about how I had blood clots in 2018. And for me, it was a life-changing event. Obviously, anytime you have something that threatens your health and overall well-being, it's different, and experienced that at a young age. It changed me a lot, and being able to represent that, bring more awareness to the cause, and really potentially save lives and just bring more awareness to it. I'm ecstatic. I'm stoked that I can have the opportunity to give it a platform.
Do you think about, just because I know how much you got bombarded with questions during the draft from, I'm sure, teams and media and everything like that. First of all, for your health, Any recurrence since then, or you've been completely healthy and no problems?
Yeah, none whatsoever. Been completely healthy. You got to really give a major shout out to University of Tennessee, their medical staff. They did their due diligence, making sure that I was safe to play and just safe in my overall life as well. And then the Kansas City Chiefs medical staff has done a phenomenal job as well, just making sure that they were comfortable with the plan. And like I said, we have had zero instances, zero issues whatsoever, and it's been clean, you know. But I thank God for it, and, you know, just thankful for my overall health and well-being.
You mentioned how it has changed you, and you know, in a way it has, because you're regarded as one of the top young guards in the NFL. As you look back at your journey in the NFL now, knowing what you had to go through to get here, how much do you feel like, yeah, this was all worth it?
Yeah, it was hard going back to college days, you know, not knowing if you're going to be able to play anymore. And then being able to be in the position I am today, it's something short of amazing. Really thankful to be in the position I'm in. But, you know, I think resiliency throughout my whole situation, man, like, things did not go right for a long time for me. But ultimately, keeping the faith, keeping a positive mentality and a workman's mentality, just keeping my head down, you know, just keep working. Eventually, it's going to pan out. You know, I'm thankful that I did that instead of choosing a different route, quitting and, you know, sort of feeling bad for myself. But ultimately, super excited and thankful to be where I am today. Nothing short but the grace of God down here and standing in front of you today.
Trey, can you talk a little bit about the Denver defense? Coach was saying, you know, looking at them, don't look at the record because they're still a very dangerous group. Can you talk a little bit about what you're seeing that kind of backs that up?
Yeah, I've briefly watched them on film a little bit, playing the guys last year. They're a very talented front seven and defensive front. Know a couple guys that play there. Haven't played them last year. Extremely athletic. They play hard. There's no quit in them. It's definitely going to be a tremendous challenge up front. Like Coach alluded to earlier, you know, the record says something, but the team's playing extremely hard, and you have to respect that ultimately. But it's going to be a tremendous challenge up front.
And, of course, a division opponent, they always want to come at the Chiefs because the Chiefs have been at the top. So you're expecting their best shot, I would think?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Does the air there bother you? I mean, am I the only person who climbs stairs there and can't breathe?
Yeah, game last year, definitely felt it a little bit. It's just different, you know, that altitude. It's definitely pretty real. I have some family members that lived out there. And just, you know, this is something you have to acclimate yourself to as well.
Trey, when you look at your teammates on tape, on the O-line, they're also in the workroom together, what characteristics make you guys so unique?
I think it's just the worker's mentality, just going out there. We talk about, you know, the mentality. It doesn't matter how you feel, you know, the state you're in, get the job done, you know, whatever it takes, whatever it means. So I think ultimately that's how I try to play the game. Just play no matter what happens, play hard for my teammates, play hard for my brothers beside me. You know, ultimately our goal is to get a win every week. So you play with that mentality that whatever it takes, I'm going to give my effort on this field. You know, I think good and positive things are going to come out of it.
And for you and your teammates, you guys have had a couple times where you got rolled up on or something. You guys have soldiered through it, and week after week, you're getting every game. Where does that come from for you guys?
I think it's just sort of like an O-line mentality. You know, we have a job we have to do, and we have to move guys up front, and we have to put players that get more recognition than us a lot of times, get more of the acclaim. But ultimately, we make things go. And, you know, it's a sense of pride that I'm not going to let my team down. I'm not going to let my brothers down. You know, I'm not feeling 100%, but I'm still going to go out here and try to give my all on this field. So, for me, I think I can speak for myself. You know, seeing a guy like Joe Tooney, definition of toughness to me, you know, doesn't matter how Joe feels, he's going to try to go out there and get the job done. So, for me, just seeing that, his leadership, it speaks volumes of how he plays. And for me, it's just like he set the standard. You know, he's going out there, even when you don't feel like you're just going out there and play.
I know Cincinnati and a couple other opponents have kind of stacked 6 or 7 on third downs and you hit the line there. What all you guys have to evaluate and go through from a pass protection perspective to take care of who you need to?
Yeah, I mean, we just identify the fronts, man. A lot of times, you know, Pat gives a call and we work with him. You know, he's the field general out there, and we pretty much do what he says. We just adjust accordingly, whatever the game plan coaches have, and we sort of just operate like that.
You know, like Nick said, you know, it's the time of year you're playing through all the bumps and bruises and everything. I know you've been having to kind of play with a knee brace lately. How does that impact you? Does it bother you at all?
No, I wouldn't say so. I mean, you know, I think when you're limited athletically, sometimes you rely on the training, the technique, and the trust you have in that. So for me, going back to even the St. Joe's days, just trying to rely and focus and refine my technique to be in the positions I need to be.
Talk about being grateful. Are you grateful when Coach Bieniemy called you big head?
Yeah, he made that comment the other day, man. It's not the first time I've been called big head, but that's pretty funny, man.
Trey, the line doesn't always get like the credit or the praise, but people are quick to, you know, criticize. How do you block that out, or do you just ignore it, or what do you guys do?
Yeah, just back to having a workman's mentality, you know, just keeping our head down and grinding. Pretty much just coming to work every day with a chip on your shoulder, wanting to get better, wanting to improve, finding facets of our game that we can get better at. You know, I think ultimately, you can ask anyone in this league, you know, it's not going to go your way you want every Sunday, but there's always something you're improving on. We're always chasing and striving for perfection, but we're going to come short because we're human beings. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, just keeping our head down, working, and just trying to improve week in and week out.
Another group that maybe doesn't get the recognition deserves the training staff for you guys. What is it about them that they seem to be able to do the job that they do to get you guys back out on the field?
Yeah, they're beasts. They do a great job. Been there a little bit this year. Just the positivity, just being there, working on things, okay, addressing issues, figuring out and formulating plans, how we're going to get the job done. They've been extremely proactive this season and every year in trying to make sure we're at our best on Sundays, game days, and throughout the week, you know. They do an excellent job working with them. You know, I'm just thankful to have them in my life as well.
Okay, thanks,
Trey.
Thank you. All right, there is Trey Smith, right guard for the Chiefs. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue rolling. Mick Schaefer hangs out with us in the 1 o'clock hour. Sad fans today as well. And we've got shot clock reviews, all that still to come. More Zone next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
This is a guy through the first three quarters of the game had a quarterback rating of... Well, now I lost that.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, welcome back here in the Zone right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson, Josh Briscoe, Beards heading up until 2 o'clock. 1 o'clock, Mick Schaefer hangs out with us. Sad fans on Reddit. And then we'll shot clock review, apparently. Yeah, sad fans on Reddit. As well, hearing from the Chiefs in the previous segment or so. I do want to send a big shout out before we get back into the conversation to Tacos for Life Grill. They came by. Okay, all right. Well, there. All right. Not gonna Let's go back to break. Let's go back to break because Josh is apparently still eating. Tacos for Life Grill. Go to Tacos for Life. That's the number four. Tacos, number four, life.com. They've been in Blue Springs off of 7 Highway, and now October got to Overland Park, Blue Valley Parkway, Overland Park. But 119th and next to the Target. That's what it is.
That's the actual address.
119th. That's Metcalf, I should say. Metcalf and 119th, but next to the Target. Kind of like 123rd. In between 119th and 123rd, so 121st.
And a half.
And a half.
121st and a half.
Next to Metcalf. You know, if you're looking from the view, we are. It's right across the street, right over here. But it's an awesome spot because not only the food is good, but it's called Tacos for Life, not just because, you know, they love it and tacos are great, but because every meal that's purchased goes to help meals for children in need. So awesome. It's one for one. So that's why it's Tacos for Life, is you're buying tacos, you're also helping children in need, and they join together to raise meals for children in need with every meal purchased. So not only good food, but a great cause as well. So new location here in Overland Park, Blue Springs, 7 Highway is where they have been before. But
It's really cool. That part in particular, and then I'll talk about how good the food is, because that part really comes naturally to me. But you can, again, check it out on the website if you want. Tacos4life.com. For every taco, bowl, salad, quesadilla, or nachos purchased, 24 cents donated to Feed My Starving Children, their nonprofit partner. They've developed a scientifically formulated packed rice meal that provides children with the nutrients they need to grow strong and healthy. That's awesome. Something you can, a cause you can support while eating. Drum roll, everybody.
I'm drum rolling. You are.
Excellent tacos.
Oh. Nice.
Excellent tacos.
I had the chicken bacon ranch. I had the fried chicken because grilled chicken. Come on. The fried chicken taco.
I went Korean, the Korean beef one. Outstanding. Nice. A little fish taco got in there. I love a fish taco. Nice. And I love that fish taco.
I heard the Brazil taco was four times better than the Korean taco.
That's a World Cup joke. The only thing I want in my cup is more things from tacosforlife.com or Tacos for Life. Probably not just online.
Got some cheese dip. We got
I want some guac. I want the queso's very good. Everything that we've had so far has been excellent. And I'm just trying to figure out what the like socially acceptable number of tacos to eat at this point is, because I don't want Mick Schaefer to get any.
Well, I stopped at two.
So did I.
And not only socially acceptable, but just like I couldn't eat any more.
I am full now.
That's roughly 1.5 more tacos than I would have been expected. I was 1.5 tacos over expected.
See, my...
In this meal. That's what Tacos for Life gives you, is tacos over expected. I'm at 1.5.
And then...
Based on lunch.
Not even to mention the impact, you know, globally speaking, it even exceeds beyond that. But my TOE, my toe, was probably about 2.8, but I got some of the sides in. And also, the tacos were bigger than I expected them to be. So these are luscious tacos.
How many tacos did you have?
I had two.
So how can you have a 2.8 tacos over expected?
Entering this game, I'm typically about a 2.8.
You're going to give up an 8?
Expected tacos.
Oh, so you're going to almost have three more tacos than expected.
Well, that's true. I guess it is. I might have like a 1.2 TOE then.
All right.
Yeah, if 2 is roughly expected.
Yeah.
5 would be a lot. I'm not a 5 taco guy.
Yeah.
But I could be.
Half a taco is probably expected for me for lunch with the reputation that people make fun of. but I had 2. So that's roughly 1.5 tacos over expected.
You did cut the crusts off, which I thought was weird.
I didn't. Really, I wanted it to be uncrust.
I'm gonna have a post game taco is what I'm gonna between after the show today. I'll pick a different one.
Yeah, thank you to Tacos for Life.
Yes,
dropping off some food here, and perfect timing as well, since we could enjoy it while listening to the press conferences. And the Chiefs can clinch the West this weekend. Rams, Dolphins, Chiefs. If they win, the Chiefs are the AFC West champions. Rams and Raiders on Thursday night. Chargers and Dolphins Sunday. Chiefs and Broncos Sunday. So Rams, Dolphins, Chiefs win this weekend. Chiefs are the AFC West champions.
I think the Chiefs can actually clinch regardless of what the Raiders do.
Well, I thought
if they win themselves. If the Chiefs win and the Chargers lose on Sunday Night Football, I think the Chiefs have locked it up.
Well, there would be 4 games remaining and the Chiefs would be 4 games ahead of the Raiders. So then if the Raiders win out and the Chiefs
if the Chiefs win against the Broncos,
there's 4 games left and there's 4 games ahead of the Raiders.
They would be 10-3. The Raiders could be as good as 5-8. I don't that oh, okay. The
yeah,
NFL's
you're right. No, you're right. Yeah.
I'm just remembering what the NFL tweeted out. I'm not doing math because me doing math does not help this show.
The Raiders only have 7 losses.
They're 5-7. The Raiders are 5-7, right.
And so if the Chiefs and the Raiders both win this weekend, mm-hmm. there would be a 4-game difference between the two.
The Chiefs already have they cannot lose the tiebreaker to the Raiders, perhaps.
Right, but if the Raiders beat them, then what goes into division and all of that stuff?
I don't know. Conference record?
Maybe there's a bunch. Well, yeah, after division, but maybe there's a bunch of other stuff I haven't gone that far down. So maybe it is just Dolphins and Chargers and Chiefs. Either way, Chiefs could clinch the West this weekend. If not, they'll clinch it next weekend. So in 2 weeks, you can cash your
Chiefs win, Chargers lost, Chiefs clinch the AFC West. Okay, NFL.com.
So it doesn't matter what the Raiders do. Thursday is does not matter unless you've got the over-under on Raiders.
Or futures. The alternate over-under line for the Rams that you got somehow. No, I don't think that'll do anything for you.
Or
unless you're gambling on John Wolford.
Or if you've got the exact order of finish in the AFC West as Chiefs, Chargers, Broncos, Raiders.
Nobody did that.
I'm going to need the Rams to win because I know the Broncos have 2 more losses on their resume this year. So they're already at 11. I need the Raiders to lose 4 more, really 5 more, because it's not going to happen. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We continue rolling more Zone next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
In 600 career plate appearances.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we'll talk and hang out with Mick Schaefer coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Sad fans on Reddit. Come your way, the 1 o'clock hour. I want to give an update to some of the odds that are out there with the NFL futures. Also, if you just joining us or have not heard, Von Miller officially out for the season with a torn ACL. They did not know the extent of the damage based on the MRI. Sean McDermott said they went in yesterday to have exploratory surgery just to see what was going on there, what the trauma was, what the course of recovery would be, and they found the ACL was torn. They repaired it. He's out for the year. Lamar Jackson has a sprained PCL, roughly 1 to 3 weeks recovery time for that. We'll see when he is back.